and reading the remainder of the chapter. In verse 24, but in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall and the powers in heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know the summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest, coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Let's hold up this morning's message and time spent here. And we do, Lord, we ask that you breathe on us. Open our ears and our hearts and strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen our faith. You said our faith comes by hearing by the word. And we look to you raise us up, Lord, according to your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 13. This is known as the Olivet Discourse, the Mount of Olives. It's written in, you know, two of the other Gospels, in Matthew and in Luke, Matthew 24, Luke 21. In both their accounts, Matthew and Luke, it's longer, has more detail. Mark gives us a shorter account of it, kind of brief, to the point. It's known as the longest answer Jesus ever gave in Scripture. It's not the longest sermon, that's the Sermon on the Mount. But the longest answer, relating to the question Jesus gave. Speaking of the destruction of the temple, the end of time, the end of the age, his return, he gives us signs to take heed about. Four times he says, take heed, take heed, take heed, take heed. I just wanted to look at a few things. One, the temple. What set the question up? What set the whole answer up? Was when they were walking out of the temple, and the disciples asked Jesus, "Whoa, check these stones out. What manner of stones are in these buildings?" The stones of the temple, Herod's temple, currently underway, close to the end of the construction, almost completed, were massive. And anybody would say, "Whoa, check out these stones." And they did. And bringing, you know, the size and the enormity of the stones to Jesus and how they were used by Herod and his architecture in the building of the temple, questioned Jesus, "What about these?" Herod was known to be a great architect, leaving, you know, a lot of his buildings there in Jerusalem. Zerubbabel began the construction of the temple. He built it 90 feet high, and Herod wanted to just make it the crown of his, you know, monument of his architect. So he added another 90 feet to its height, 180 feet high. Huge, the temple. And you'll notice they said not only about the temple, but look at the manner, these stones of the buildings. It wasn't only just the temple, but he built a temple complex, just a huge, massive edifice, buildings. They questioned Jesus, you know, specifically about the stones, which were of white Jerusalem stone, some say marble. But the size of the stones, according to Josephus, I've been reading different sizes, but 37 feet long, 12 feet high, and 18 feet thick. That's a big stone. That's one hewn stone of rock. To give a little perspective of it, and this isn't the biggest one that I've read about. If you look at my truck outside, and it was a foot lower, it would be twice as big as my truck. One stone. The construction of the temple using stones twice as big as my truck and trailer. Now, weighing up to, Josephus says, 100 tons, 200,000 pounds. Or, in a different shape, be the size of a boxcar, train boxcar. Huge stones. The magnificence of the temple, as they walked outside the temple, wow! Struck by just the massive building project that was going on by Herod. Hey, what manner of stones are these? Jesus, check this out. Anybody would be, you know, impressed. Jesus made a prediction. He said, not one stone will be left upon another. That was a big prediction. For there's still, you know, the amphitheater, some of the building projects of Herod around Jerusalem still remaining. A building, you know, constructed with that type of stone and, you know, construction built to last. Pastor Chuck mentioned about the Parthenon in the Greece. It's not as massive, yet it still stands. The Agora Temple in Jupiter still stands. Ruins in Ephesus, Pergamos, made of similar construction, still standing. Yet, Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another. That's a radical, big prediction as they were walking out. And, man, he must have been ludicrous. Some must have thought, for them stones. And I've heard, you know, you go over there and the Wailing Wall still exists, and some of them stones are enormous. And yet, you know, they hewn out of rock and, you know, such precision, some of these buildings constructed so precisely that you can't stick, you know, your credit card or a knife between the stones. Just built to last. And yet Jesus makes this huge prediction. Now one stone's going to be left upon another. Big prediction. And yet, 100% fulfilled. 70 years, 40 years later, 70 AD, when Rome attacked under Titus, you know, laid siege of Jerusalem. They surrounded Jerusalem, going to starve them, until, you know, weakening them to attack and overtake Jerusalem. One of the soldiers of Titus got antsy, threw a torch in the temple, caught it on fire. Inside the temple were the golden plates. They melted into the cracks, which caused the created the reason to take apart the stones one at a time to recoup the gold. 100% fulfilled by the Romans, and yet not one stone is left upon another. Pastor Chuck, I've never been to Israel. I'd like to go there once. Maybe I'll get a load there one day. But he says you can go over there and look everywhere. Not one stone is left upon another. It's an amazing fulfillment, prediction, prophecy that Jesus, just as they were coming out of the temple, responding to their questions, says, hey, not one stone's going to be left upon another. 100% fulfilled. Through the setting up of the question of, you know, the destruction of the temple and in the end of the age, there's a few things that Jesus talks about, signs, the aspect of his discourse. In verse 8 at the end, we've mentioned before, bears repeating, he said, these are the beginning of sorrows at the end of verse 8. And that word for sorrows is birth pangs. Jesus saying, talking about wars and rumors of wars, famines and earthquakes in diverse places and all these things. And in Matthew, it adds pestilences. All these things that are taking place, crazy things around the world, will increase and intensify. That's what the aspect of his teaching was about. They're going to increase like birth pangs. As we draw nearer to the end, so will these things, these signs, intensify. Deception, intensify. And wars and earthquakes and famines. There's different studies done on the internet. Killer quakes, you know, and how they've increased in the past years. And how they're intensifying. One done on 6.0, one done on a 7.1. From 1890 to 1970, 39 killer quakes were recorded. 1971 to 79, 51 killer quakes. 1980 to 1990, the next decade, 86. And in the 90s, 100. Didn't get to the new millennium. Increasing in number, intensifying in magnitude. Killer quakes. Wars. There's been war throughout history. And yet two world wars in the last 100 years. Wars and rumors of wars. We look around in the world today. There's so much instability in the Middle East. Egypt. Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, we're involved in Libya. You know, he's attacking in Korea poses a threat. There's so much instability, you know, around the world and in the, you know, and we're on the verge of World War III. And we know that. It's not something we have to hype up and believe. Things are unstable economically. You know, the debt, the government almost shut down yesterday. How we live in this world going crazy, going wild. Jesus said, these things will intensify. False Christ, David Koresh. Sandy Adams says he was the wacko from Waco. claiming to be Christ. I did a Google search last night about who calls themselves false Christ today. Remember Marshall Appleton with the Heaven's Gate, you know, out in San Diego, waiting for the comet. One recent false Christ. Jose Luis is the one that pops up a lot today. Popular. I got involved in this story in Siberia. Sergey. CNN did a story on him in the and Nightline and CNN reporters are doing stories on these false Christs. It's real interesting. But Sergey in Siberia, you know, claiming to be Jesus Christ, reincarnate, this gal that did the story, she had to fly over to Russia, drive 2,000 more miles, and then walk to get to this community where he's, you know, him and his followers look at him. He resides up on this huge hill where the community, you know, dwells down here. When they ring the bell, they all turn to the hill and they pray towards their Messiah. It's sad. As she's walking up, you know, to closer in proximity to the community, she's interviewing some of these followers, and they're all like starry-eyed, yes. When I met him, my heart fluttered. it was all emotional type answers, but they're swallowed up. Hundreds of followers looking to false Christ, false Messiah. Jesus said, don't be deceived. But the increase, the note of, one of the aspects of his teaching, the generation in verse 30. The Bible says, surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away. Speaking of a generation that witnesses the regathering of Israel, will not pass away, but, witness, will not, it will be the last remaining generation. The Pepsi generation. Maybe we're in that generation. But Jesus speaking about, these things intensifying until finally one generation remains that witnesses intensification and things that are happening. We could very well, if you look in verse 29, you go back one verse before he said about the generations, they show you also when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. The purpose of his discourse to prepare the church to be watching. We know as you go through this, theologically, literally, it's speaking mostly about Jewish in content. Speaking about persecutions. When they persecute, speaking about a revival, when they arrest you and they bring you before the kings and don't worry about what to say. But the Holy Spirit will give you the answer right away. And in the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us that during the Great Tribulation, 144,000 anointed Jews will be unleashed. And, the gospel, there'll be a huge revival during the Great Tribulation period. Family betrayal. Not only the family break down, but then they're turning in one another. The Bible tells us, brother against brother, sister, family against one another. Another sign, the abomination of desolation written about by Daniel the prophet. Let him who hears understand, as Jesus points to the prophecy of Daniel about the Antichrist, Jesus speaking yet future. The Antichrist setting up the image of the beast in the temple and demanding worship, satanic worship on the rise, and satanic worship in the end during the Great Tribulation period. These signs, aspects of his teaching, the return of Christ is really where he culminates this discourse. And in verse 31, notice, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, things are going to get crazy and wild and intensify. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. We can trust and rely upon his word. And that's what we're doing. You want to hook into the true Jesus of the Bible. We must rely upon his word. And he gives that assurance. Hey, man. It's not going to pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. Things are going to fall apart. Consistent with his prediction. Look in verse 26. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. As he walked out the temple, then he said, I tell you, now one stone's going to be left upon another. He gives that radical prediction. Yet, we look back, and it's flattened. There's no trace of one stone left upon another. We can rely upon his predictions. Here he says, the Son of Man is coming in glory. He's coming again. We can rely upon his prediction, his prophecy. His word shall by no means pass away. The return of Christ. No one knows. The Bible tells us in verse 32, Jesus said, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father, despite the big billboards around Detroit and these recent claims and dates and date setters. No one knows the day or the hour. And he didn't come in secret, and he isn't in a cave, and he isn't in Siberia, and he doesn't live in South America. When he comes, he says in the backdrop, the heavens will be going chasm, moon will go dark, the sun is going to, everything's going to go crazy, then the Son of Man will come. There's not going to be some mystery about his return. When he comes, everyone's going to know who he is and that he's returned. And, you know, don't be deceived by false Christ. No one knows the day or the hour, but he gives us the nearness to understand. In verse 29, so you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. You know, these things happening. You know, there's in this generation only, you know, enables the capacity to fulfill some of the prophecies given. He said no flesh would survive if, you know, he didn't intervene. In short, if God doesn't come back and intervene, man is going to destroy himself. There'll be no one left, man, an endangered species. No one left living on planet Earth. But he says he's going to shorten the days. I heard about in one nuclear Trident sub, there's more detonation power in just one sub than a total of all of the arsenal in World War II. The power, it's equated that there's 40 pounds of TNT for every living person on the planet. That's how much nuclear and armament and weaponry man has developed and created. Enough to blow every man off the planet. Unless this day was shortened, unless Jesus comes back and intervenes during the Great Tribulation, no flesh will be saved. Interesting. More verses about the second coming. Billy Graham supposedly came up with this, I heard. 7 verses in the Bible about the new birth. 50 verses in the New Testament about repentance. 70 to 80 about baptism. Water and spirit baptism. 300 verses about the return of Jesus Christ. As he talks about, you know, the Son of Man coming again in glory, he's making a prediction. But he puts it in the context, man, you can believe it. No stone will be left upon another. The signs, things are going to get bad, but the Son of Man's coming again in glory. For us, you know, the application to watch. There's 4 take heeds here in verse 5. Take heed that no one deceives you. Deception. Jose Lewis, he's got a church of the grace. And this newfound overemphasis about the International Church of Grace. This false Christ. You know, hey, there's so much grace in God's love. There is no sin. Don't worry about changing. Don't worry about repenting. And overriding the gospel, you know, with some new spin. Beware of deception. The emerging church coming up. There's no hell. There's no sin. The annihilation of you know, when one dies, when one soul dies, they're annihilated. There's not everlasting torment. That's not real. All deception. Beware of deception, Jesus says. Take heed. Verse 9. Persecution on the rise. Jewish in context here. But he says in this verse 9, take heed. Persecution. Watch out for yourselves. You know, to watch, you know, to be alert. They teach us, you know, we got to go through security teachings and trainings. For FedEx, we pick up some things I can't even tell you about. But we're supposed to be really. Sometimes you pick up a load, you have to drive 150 miles before stopping. It's part of the, you know, deal. You got to be careful. You know, you got to be alert. The trailer's always got to be locked. You got to be aware who's around the truck. You can't share what's on your load. Certain security clearance train. Be careful. Be aware. Watch for yourselves. As he says take heed. In verse 23, he gives the warning, take heed, but it's a warning to avoid these trials and problems and troubles. In verse 33, watch and pray. You know, don't go to sleep. I think of a security guard, for he puts it like a watchman's at the door. We're to be alert and awake. I see that guy over at Eastgate, and he's in his pickup truck. Sometimes he's he's nodding, man. We're to be alert, awake, as a watchman's at the door, Jesus says. We see the signs. The Son of Man's coming. No man knows the day or the hour. Be alert, be awake, be watching, be praying, as Jesus applies it to us. Verse 7, he says, not to be troubled. Hey, we see trouble. We see all things coming apart at the seams. We live in a world that's unstable, upside down in your house, the economy's in the toilet, wars and rumors of wars. All our businesses are moving to foreign countries. Do you see that? Things are so crazy, man. America's plummeting. And yet, Jesus said, don't be troubled. In verse 11, I like this one. He says, when they arrest you and deliver you, don't worry about what to say beforehand. Premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given to you in that hour, speak. Don't worry in advance is what I like, because it can cause worry. We look at the news. We look at the truth. This is the reality. Things are going to get worse. We can't escape it. We can act like things are not going to get worse. We can hold to that ideal. And yet, things are going to get worse, sure enough. They're going to get bad. They're going to intensify. They're going to escalate. But don't worry about it, Jesus says. He said, "My heavens and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." We can trust the true Jesus. It's interesting, he says, after me, false Christ will arise. They have to be after him because he's the true Christ. He's the true, real Jesus. And don't be deceived. Well, you see them starry-eyed looks and them people that follow the false Christ. You get around them, man, they do a wonder, a miracle. There's a spiritual element of, feeling, presence, signs and wonders. Yet, don't be deceived. Don't be swallowed up. And how we, safeguard how I'm and you're not to get deceived is by clinging to his word. We recognize, a false Christ because Jesus told us the truth, who the true Christ is. The reality that we can bank on his word and trust him. And it's an absolute. I mean, it's a faith absolute. Just like Jesus, as they were walking out of the temple, says, not one stone will be laid upon another. We can trust him. He's coming back. We can trust and bank on his word. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that you do give us eyes to see, a heart to embrace, and strength to stay awake, stay alert. Stay at the door. Watch. As you said in Luke, you see these things. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Lord, do solidify your heart, your spirit, your word in us. According to your plan, make us strong to endure and to be willing to share, Lord, the truth and the true Jesus, no matter what we face and go through. We praise you, Lord, and again we entrust ourselves to you. Keep us, Lord. Keep your hand upon us. We look to you for the future. You hold the future, and we know you hold us in your hands, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. The world's going to fall apart. And yet, our hope, you know, I liken to, you know, it's on a really bad overcast day, the skies are blue above the clouds. And when we get to glory, whoo, the skies will be blue. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more sin to contend with. May the Lord bless you, keep His hand upon you. Help us witness to others and share who He is. Deliver those that are in deception and humility. Lord, we commit ourselves to You afresh. We rely upon You and Your filling and Your direction and guidance. We need You, Lord, through these times. We ask that You pour out Your Spirit upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.